Finally, your boy is back. It feels good to be back in here again, man. You know what time it is. It is Ring Talk by Grizzly FOG. How you guys been, man? It's been a long time. I say about a good 7 months, you know what I'm saying? Your boy had to take a hiatus, but we back in this dang, you know what I'm saying? If you don't know me, if it's your first time listening to this podcast, my name is Grizzly FOG. You know what I'm saying? And welcome. You know, we about to get into some nitty gritty, you know what I'm saying? First and foremost, like I said, if this is your first time listening to me, go to soundcloud.com/GrizzlyFOG. My music is up there. You know, this is what I do. I'm a musician. You know what I'm saying? I have a lot going on with the music, you know what I'm saying? And it's partly the reason why I took a hiatus. I've been having so much music come out and making so much music, man. Quick refresher on my latest projects I released so far. Two projects earlier this year. First one being Fearless 2. Which is a collection of unreleased beats that I have laid on my projects throughout, I say, about 2019 and 2020. Go check that out. It's a free beat tape on my Bandcamp, grizzlyfog.bandcamp.com. And also, I've released an album I released with Love from Hampton Roads, a joint project with my boy Miyagi, taught me about, you know what I'm saying, about in March, yeah. I released that, and you know, we came together. This is our second project together. The first one was Warriors Kabuki, or Kabuki Warriors, back in October of Halloween, and we, you know, did some magic on that. That was more of an EP, 6-track EP, but this one was like a full length project. You know, Miyagi taught me, shout out to him, and stuff like that. But your boy got some more stuff coming soon. I am working on 3 projects. Actually, 4 projects simultaneously. I got my beat tape Bagels coming out real soon. I got For Your Consideration. That's more of a mixtape. That's dropping in the summer. Also, I'm working on Grizz the HBK 2 Heel Tactics. That has been in production hell since 2019, 2020. I've been dropping tracks that I thought I was going to be putting on there, but I feel like since they've been sitting out there for too long, they might not even end up on the project. So I might just start anew with this project. I do got beats for it made, and it won't be hard to put together this project at all. So Grizzly HBK 2 Heel Tactics, that's coming, say, about late summer, early fall ish. And then the grand finale project, the one I'm treating like a actual studio album, APE, Volume 1, The Rise of Scroll Reaper Grizz, that's dropping, I say, late fall, early winter, mid-winter, somewhere late 2022. We're going to, you know, tear it up, be on the lookout for all those projects, and I can't wait to give it to you guys, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, as I said earlier, I took a 7-month hiatus, from podcasting, just took a break, you know, a lot of stuff going on between music, life, been very busy working, you know, I work 12-hour shifts, you know, I still keep up with the wrestling though. There's a lot of wrestling that went on since October, obviously, a lot of the things, a lot of signings, situations, a whole bunch of shit, man. You know, I just lost for time, man. But I'm back, as you can see, or as you can hear, you know, I'm just, you know, back into the mix of things, trying to get back into the mix of things, and you know, we're gonna keep it moving, you know what I'm saying? I'm glad to deliver another episode for you guys, the ones that are listening to me, and you know, we're gonna get it rocking. So I've been thinking about a lot with the podcast things, like some things I want to talk about, But I can't really talk about it on here because, you know, this is like a wrestling slash sports related podcast. As in, and, you know, the first topic I'm about to get into, you'll see why. But I've really been thinking, man, I've been thinking about doing a sister podcast to this podcast right here. This podcast would be mostly themed at pop culture, what's going on in music, having some of my friends on as guests. Has been deep as hell in the music thing, you know, for a long time in the music industry. Same brothers that came up, same sisters that came up with me through this music journey. And I've been thinking, man, maybe it's time to do a sub podcast to this one, you know. So I'm putting it together real soon. I want to, you know, get some couple guests lined up for it. And before, you know, I want to get everything squared away before I start this new podcast. And I think I already have a name for it. If I need to take suggestions on names, I will let you guys know about that. And yeah, you know what I'm saying? So that's in the works for me, as far as dividing these topics up and podcasts out. I just don't want to get one podcast carried away with you know, different topics that's not pertaining to the actual theme of the podcast. So you know what I'm saying? So that's one thing in the works. I guess that's my announcement right there. You know, two podcasts, you know, let's do it, you know. I feel like that's going to be a good thing. I feel like it's going to be something that will benefit me and hopefully benefit other people, because I, you know, I've been around people that I feel like definitely needs this, the shine, basically, the recognition. And, you know, I just want to give a platform for me and my other artists that I know, you know, tell you about their stories, tell you about how they came up in music. And then also on the pop culture side, I get to talk about what I want, you know, talk about what's happening in music, talk about what's happening in pop culture, news topics, you know, not really sensitive topics, but, you know, a bunch of shit like that. So, like I said, man, this first topic is completely not related to wrestling or sports at all. I just wanted to talk about this topic for a good while, since Tuesday of this week. Basically, you know, the rap world is just fucking going crazy right now. So Tuesday this week, if you did not know, or if you haven't heard, you've been under a rock or everything like that, you stay on rap, you just been under the rock. This big arrest that was made on Tuesday, big arrest, and say about not a whole lot of people, but there's a whole lot of people involved, and they'll eventually get arrested, basically. So rap groups, man, you know, we all know the purpose of rap groups. We all know the purpose of putting together a rap group and creating music with other people and stuff like that. But sometimes these rap groups could double as something different and double as gangs and stuff like that. So, like, the perfect example happened this week in Atlanta with Young Thug and Gunna and, you know, the rest of the defendants, about 28 defendants in total. The whole YSL group was indicted on charges. And it was so fucking crazy with an 88-page indictment involving 56 charges across 28 defendants with Young Thug and Gunna and the various other YSL rappers and gang members, group mates being charged in the indictment. I'm talking about, like, people got so many charges, they ain't even seen the light of day again. You know what I'm saying? And these are big charges. They are getting RICO charges. If you don't know what a RICO charge is, that's racketeering. That's a big charge as far as federal, you know, goes. But they are in the state of Georgia, and so they decided to give them the Georgia RICO charge instead of a federal RICO charge, and various other charges. Young Thug was arrested on Tuesday after police raided their rental mansion, I believe, in Atlanta. And he was picked up. He was arrested. He got a RICO charge and another charge, a gang-related charge, gang activity. Gonna turn himself in on Wednesday. He only has a RICO charge, I believe. I think it's a RICO charge, either it's a RICO charge or a gang activity. I don't know, one of the two. It's just one charge for him. Young Thug had two charges, but they raided his other place and they found a bunch of illegal shit in there. So he himself got about seven new charges added on to the two charges that he already has. So these people are still in jail. You know, court dates are coming. You know, they have to sit in front of the judge and hopefully try, because I'm going to use the word try as a big word. They will hopefully try to get these charges beat, but I don't see it as a reality per se. You know, like I said, these are big charges. These aren't just like charges that are just thrown at them. This whole case was built up over time, like almost 10 years worth of crime done. They've been on them hard. I mean, talking about tapping phones with some of the gang members that were in jail, various robbery, attempted murder, you know, stuff like that. Basically, if you don't know about the YSL and the YFN beef, it's kind of crazy. And there's a whole video on YouTube you can watch about the beef where, you know, they break it down. How did they get to the beef? You know, how everything happened. Basically, the main thing is the killing of Donovan Thomas, who was a manager, mentor of YFN Lucci, and apparently some YSL members did the killing. It was found that Young Thug rented the car that was used in the killing of Donovan Thomas. And yeah, that's a big one right there. That's basically like, you know, you giving yourself an accessory to the murder. You know, it's fucking crazy. This whole beef is crazy. So, I mean, there's a whole YouTube video on it. You know, just look up YSL, YFN beef on YouTube or whatever. I'm pretty sure it'll pop up. And then you got various other crimes committed by YSL members as well. This whole document read not only charges but gave also key evidence as far as building up the case goes. And it's controversial because of them using song lyrics from Young Thug songs and whatever. This whole thing has been like a topic of discussion. Basically, is people from the judicial system allowed to use song lyrics as evidence in a criminal case? And this whole thing has been weighed by yes or no. You know, being a rapper, you are obviously subject to a whole lot of fantasy, whole lot of lyrics that you don't live by. Some of these people actually live by these lyrics, as far as the talk about rap about murder, guns, drugs, sex, whatever. There is a fantasy side to hip hop. You know, like, you know, we always hear rappers rap about anything and everything. You know, some of these rappers even tell on themselves, and it's ridiculous, really ridiculous. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm innocent. You know, like, I rap about shit I don't have all the time. You know, like, I rap about fucking VVS diamonds, and I don't even own a goddamn necklace, bracelet, whatever the hell that's diamond plated. It's fucking, you know, fantasy. You know, like, it's part of entertaining the audience that listens to your music. And, you know, when you put that together, you can understand the aspect of it. But sometimes, you know, these rappers are really out here rapping about their life. You know, that's part of their life. These, you know, this lifestyle, everything like that. You know what I'm saying? And it is controversial, in my opinion, to use rap lyrics as evidence. You know, because there is the aspect of, well, did they really, you know, live that life? But like I said, you know, people really do live that life. So that's a weighted bag, in my opinion. I feel like it is definitely controversial. There have been rappers that have been petitioning to get that part of the evidence banned. And, you know, it's really crazy, you know. It's just crazy, man, you know, seeing rap lyrics used as evidence sometimes. But it's like, sometimes when you rap about what you rap about, you got to live up to the consequences. And this rap is about to live up to the consequences. Now, it's, will they snitch or will they not? Will they keep quiet or will they be start telling? That's the whole question about it. Who's going to be in there? Who's ain't going to be in there? Who's going to get off scot-free, which I don't think any of them are? Or who is going to keep quiet and take their fucking time? So, yeah, that's the real part, man. That's the real shit of rap, you know. Is you really about that life? Is you really doing what you're saying in these rhymes out here? You know what I'm saying? It's really crazy, though, to use rap lyrics as evidence. But it's, you know, it's just, you gotta be mindful, and not even be mindful of what you say. You know, like, I mean, look, I ain't gonna tell nobody what the fuck is saying they rhymes. Just like, you know, I feel the same way if somebody tell me what the fuck to say in my rhymes. It's my rhymes. You know what I'm saying? It's just up to you on whether you want to rap about what you do or not. You know what I'm saying? You want to rap about this fantasy life or not. So, that's my opinion about rap lyrics being used in evidence in the criminal case. And, I mean, it's whatever, man. I just, you know, I just, it's really, really looking bad for Young Thug. I think Gunna's going to be fine. He's not going to really take a lot of time. He's probably just get like maybe a year or two and then probation, or maybe just get straight up probation. But the feds gonna be on his ass every fucking second, watching his every move, make sure that he ain't doing anything he ain't supposed to be doing. And you know what I'm saying? It's crazy, man. Like, really, some of them ain't gonna really see the light of day. Like, the dude's got like hella charges on him. It's like crazy reading that whole indictment, seeing how many members got how many charges. It's ridiculous, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's what happens, man. I guess, you know, I see a whole lot of rappers getting indicted for racketeering, and it's just, man, it's just not the right move, man. It's just not the right move. It's just not the way. This is not the way, man. In my opinion, it's ridiculous. But if you really out here doing what you're doing, you gotta live up to the consequences, right? You know, I'm not gonna feel sorry if you really out here doing what you're doing and shit like that. I'm pretty sure these rappers don't want people feel sorry for them. I mean, they gotta know that they gotta live up to the consequences of what they're doing. So, I mean, I'm not feeling sorry for nobody, but he'll just hate to see that happen. And then on top of that, with Lil' Keed passing away on Saturday, with Friday night, Saturday morning, around that time frame, that's another blow to YSL. Definitely rest in peace to Lil' Keed. You know, I never was really on his music, but he was coming up in the game as an artist, definitely, for sure. And that's a sad passing right there. You know, he was young. Well, he was 24, if I'm not mistaken. You know, that's another blow to YSL, to Young Thug. You know, I'm pretty sure they was close. You know, as Young Thug says, you know, YSL is a family. It's not, you know, a gang. It's not a label. It's a, you know, family and a lifestyle. And, you know, that's just sucks for them. Sucks for, you know, fans of Lil' Keed, fans of rap. You know what I'm saying? So, that's another below the wire. So, and I just wanted to piece together thoughts of this whole indictment. You know, looking at it throughout this whole week, is this been like crazy? You know, it's been really crazy. And shout out to my homeboy Razzy K for breaking down everything in that 88 page indictment. He makes great music too, so check him out. You know who Razzy K is. I'm pretty sure you know who Razzy K is, man, the Raisin Man. But yeah, you know, it's a crazy situation. Crazy. You know, I couldn't believe in myself, you know, seeing the news on Twitter Tuesday night. Just crazy, dog. It's, you know, wild. You know, you got these rappers out here doing wild shit. And, you know, it's crazy. Some of them may think they invisible, you know, but once that shit catches up to you, that shit catches up to you, unfortunately. I mean, like I said, this shit been building up since 2012. This shit's been building up for a long time, and when you keep on doing what you're doing, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be a good look. You know what I'm saying? So just take that with, you know, take that with seriousness, basically. Just, you know, chill out, man. You don't want to be caught up in the damn system. You know what I'm saying? And do all that shit. Again, I'm not telling you how to live your lifestyle if you're a rapper listening to this, but just be careful, man. Because, like, you know, you do some shit out here, you get wrapped up for it real fast and shit like that. So, you know, that's the only, you know, thing I wanted to say about that whole situation, why it's so. Now, we can get to the real part of the podcast, which is wrestling. Let's break down some shit. Let's break down some real shit. I have been out of the podcast game for months. And in that time frame, a whole lot of shit has changed in wrestling. And it has been wild to see. It has been crazy to see. It has been tremendous. Like, fucking crazy. So, I don't even know where to begin, but I know I'm not going to talk a lot. I just wanted to talk about some WWE things real quick before we really move on to the grand finale topic I wanted to talk about. This, the grand finale topic is the part of the podcast y'all been willing to listen to me for, y'all been waiting for, and stuff like that. So here we go. Before I get started, I want to take a cheers and a toast to any and everybody that has come back to the Ring Talk Podcast for this episode. They are new for this episode. Here's my salute to you as I take a hit of this vape. And let's get it started. So, what we want to talk about here is basically WWE. Let's jump into that for a second. I just want to talk about the returns and how I feel about them so far, everything like that. So let's fast forward to WrestleMania this year. Shit was crazy. Some shit was a fever dream, basically, like Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville, and Johnny Knoxville bringing all his jackass members out there. Wow, this match in WrestleMania history. You had Cody Rhodes returning to WWE for the first time in like 11 years, battling Seth Rollins. He was his mystery opponent. You had Bianca Belair winning the Raw Women's Championship over Becky Lynch. Yes, yes, yes. You know, back to back, 2 years in a row, Becky went down in a heap, and Bianca back to back wins another championship at WrestleMania, won the SmackDown Women's Championship last year, wins the Raw Women's Championship this year. Whole lot of stuff happened. I can't even remember which night was my favorite. I think night one was my favorite, honestly. I mean, both nights was good, but I think night one was my favorite. I think because of the KO show and Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and them actually having a match. That was wild. That was crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like a whole bunch of stuff just happened at WrestleMania. But here we are in May. We are in May, and we have just passed WrestleMania Backlash, which was last weekend. Don't ask me if I watched that pay-per-view, because no, I did not watch that pay-per-view at all. Whole lot of returns, man. Well, actually not a lot, but, you know, a couple of returns that were noticeable. Three in particular, like I said, Cody Rhodes returning at WrestleMania. Then you had Asuka finally return out of, like, the depths of nowhere. We all thought she was going to be at Royal Rumble. We all thought she was going to be back in time for, like, the end of winter. We all thought she was going to be back for WrestleMania. None of that shit happened. She was almost out for a full year with apparent shoulder injury. We've been out since Money in the Bank. Came back, man. Looking like she never lost a step. This woman turns 41 this year. She is moving like she's 21. It's fucking crazy. It's ridiculous. Her match with Bianca this past Monday Night Raw, you see, I mean, she looked like she was wrestling while she was injured. She was wrestling while she was out. You know, like, I can't explain, you know, this woman in particular. Like, I mean, Asuka is going to definitely go down as one of the greatest, and I'd be damned if she isn't the first ballot WWE Hall of Famer. And, I mean, come on, man. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. You know, using the term ring rust. Why is WWE using the term ring rust all of a sudden? I mean, they used it on Cody Rhodes for whatever fucking reason. I don't understand why. I mean, we're not going to just tiptoe and sidestep like he wasn't wrestling a month ago in AEW, or like he wasn't wrestling ever since he left WWE. They can't do that. That's fucking wrong. That's just blasphemous, preposterous. I am flabbergasted and hoodwinked that they even use that term to describe Cody Rhodes. I understand it in Asuka's case, because, you know, Asuka, she's been out for almost a year. But then again, I still don't understand it in Asuka's case, because, like I said, she's moving like she as if lost the fucking step. She's like gained 5 steps. Really, if you want to be real about it, still look phenomenal in ring. Still can work with any and everybody that you throw at her. I mean, it's evident, you know, like sometimes they can't even keep up with her. You know, it's just crazy. But yeah, I don't really like WWE throwing the ring rust word around somebody that they know have been wrestling ever since they left their company, and now all of a sudden they came back after all these years. They're supposed to have ring rust? I don't think so. I really don't think so. I don't know where they're going with that. So you got Cody Rhodes messing around with Seth, and then you got Asuka right back. Well, it seems to be in the title picture. She's, you know, been wrestling Bianca. She's obviously feuding with Becky. Becky looks like a fucking mess because of losing her Raw Women's Championship. If you don't know, she, you know, came out, cut a promo, you know, basically complaining about losing the championship and how she's going to get it back, blah, blah, blah. Nobody can stop her. Well, you got Asuka returns. She comes out there, taunts Becky, and does the fucking nose flick around the fucking, that was heard around the fucking world, and boom, there you go. You know, and then all this talk of handing somebody a title, I mean, that's a good thing to use, in my opinion. It is a good thing to use. I mean, she did hand her the title. I really don't like to really get into that because I feel like Asuka never got handed the title. The match stipulation for that Money in the Bank match was if whoever won that Money in the Bank match would be the new Raw Women's Champion due to Becky Lynch relinquishing the title due to her pregnancy. So, isn't that in the case she flat out won the title anyway at Money in the Bank? But yeah, Grizz, storyline, you know, that's not logical. You have to follow storyline. And it's this whole, I'm just tired of it because this whole thing been used ever since Asuka's been Raw Women's Champion. And even see when she won it back, that shit been used. It was used by Zelina Vega. Like, oh, you was handed the title. Well, she won it back from Sasha Banks. I don't see her getting handed the title that way. You know what I'm saying? But I understand it. And Becky can damn sure use that excuse all she wants. She did give Asuka her title. I guess she can use it as an excuse. But I'm pretty sure Asuka doesn't care. Judging by what she did last Monday night, taunting her, calling her a crybaby, and stuff like that. But Becky got the last laugh at the end of Monday Night Raw, messing up Bianca and Asuka's match, which I'd seen that shit coming from a far fucking away when they announced the match. I was like, yeah, this has DQ written all over it. This has unfinished written all over it. This has interference written all over it. I automatically know Becky's going to come out, sit ringside, and then go into the match. It's just, I don't even have to watch it anymore just to know what the fuck WWE is doing. So, yeah, obviously that happened. Interference. Match gets called off. She beats down Bianca. She beats down Asuka. She has the last laugh. I get it. I understand it completely. Yes, I do. I understand it completely. I'm not even going to hold you. It's a good storyline to take in. I don't know if they're going to take this all the way to SummerSlam. They might as well do it. Three-way match at SummerSlam for the Raw Women's Championship. I see it. I definitely see it. It's written all over your face. I see it. I see them doing that big time. And I don't know who the winner of that match would be. Maybe it would be Bianca retaining. Maybe it would be Asuka winning, becoming a 3-time Raw Women's Champion. Maybe Becky will get her belt back. I don't know. So, Monday Night Raw is actually here in Norfolk tonight. I'm not going to go. It would be happening on my off day. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going. I'll just probably watch it on TV, catch the highlights later. I would have went when they announced it, because I'm pretty sure when they announced that Asuka was even back, or she was like a couple weeks away from coming back, and I was just like, I'm not, you know, sitting like 4 or 5+ hours, and I can't see Asuka, and then she comes back, and I was like, it's too late to buy tickets now. I don't really feel like it. Also, you had Mustafa Ali return. That was another interesting return. Returning on the same night Asuka returned. What makes it more interesting is he requested his release. It was around the same time Toni Storm got released from WWE. After I'm pretty sure she requested her release too. So they dismissed that. And then he was just off of TV for a couple months. Had a kid. You know, just chilling at home, you know, just waiting. And I guess, you know, they just you know, everything was good. So, you know, he came back and he's back in the mix of things and stuff like that. Veer Mahan, yeah, he debuted finally at the months of being touted that he was coming to Raw, and he definitely came to Raw and pounded the shit out of Dominic Mysterio, and everything went good with his debut. I wouldn't run mess with that motherfucker right there. He looked like he hurt people. Pretty sure you seen him hurt Dominic, and I just stay with. He has nice hair. He has nice silky hair. He's very built. Just all nice compliments. If I ever met Veer Mahan, I was like, sir, please don't hurt me. You are great. You're killing it. You are killing it out there. You are definitely killing it. That happened too. Judgment Day. Let's talk about Judgment Day. You got Edge and Damian Priest just going around. It's like Edge is in like Brood 2.0 mode. You know what I'm saying? Damian Priest is definitely a nice compliment to Edge in this group. They're just on demon time right now, bro. Like they really out here, bro. And they just added Rhea Ripley to the group as well, which we all saw coming, obviously. You know what I'm saying? That's the first thing I saw coming. The second thing I'm seeing that might come to fruition is Naomi obviously being in the Bloodline, which they should have did a long damn time ago. But hopefully they'll open their fucking eyes and be like, yeah, let's go with that. Let's do that. Let's put Naomi in the Bloodline. Hopefully they'll do that. But yes, Rhea Ripley is also part of Judgment Day now. That's a nice little faction right there. I had to keep my eye on, you know what I'm saying? They just on demon time right now, bro. They just hungry, out for murder. They serious with it out here. So, you know, yeah, then you know that's dope right there. Jeez, let's put this all in a conclusion. WWE have these returning wrestlers. Think about this. Like, we still got Bayley, you know, returning. I'm pretty sure she's like a couple months away from returning now. You know, with torn ACL, that's a whole year out. I'm pretty sure she is on her way back, definitely. She would be a nice addition to the SmackDown Women's roster. Nice addition to the SmackDown Women's title picture. Oh, yeah, I can't forget Ronda Rousey winning the SmackDown Women's Championship over Charlotte. Charlotte is out with a injury. They took an injury angle out on Charlotte, and she is getting time off from WWE. So who is going to step up and try to challenge her for the belt? Well, currently is Raquel Rodriguez, apparently, that's doing that challenge. Man, just a couple months ago, she was on NXT 2.0, and then look at her now in the SmackDown Women's title picture, apparently, you know. Amazing. Do I wish that Ronda would hold that belt for a long time? I absolutely don't think so. I hope not. I love you, Ronda, but I can't do it. I'm sorry. I really cannot do it. No. Yeah, so like I said, you still got Bayley on the back burner, ready to return at any given moment. That will bolster the SmackDown women's roster a whole lot. But this Raw women's division is stacked. With Asuka coming back, it just elevates the division even more. And it's wild. It's really wild. Judgment Day, yes. That's crazy right there. Hopefully Mustafa Ali has some more success per se in WWE. And I know Cody Rhodes is going to tear it up. Don't worry about what people say about your tattoo on your neck, buddy. It's a way of life. I understand it. American Nightmare, all that good stuff. Liberty, life, pursuit of happiness. You know what I'm saying? I pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America type shit. You know, that's what we rocking. You know what I'm saying? That's what we coming with. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, to put it into conclusion, SummerSlam might be a banger. SummerSlam might actually be a banger. And I'll probably maybe watching WWE closely. But can't really do it these days. I just can't. I barely even keep up with NXT 2.0. Man, NXT 2.0 has changed a lot. Especially the women's division has changed a lot. Breakout tournament going on. Who do I have as the winner of the breakout tournament? I'm straight up picking Nikita Lyons, in my opinion, to win that tournament. Didn't really watch the latest episode going on, but that's just my pick for it. That's all I got to say. I do like the rebranding of Kaylee Ray as Alba Fire or whatever. I like that rebranding. I definitely like that. That's the one rare instance where I like a rebranding of an NXT wrestler, because some of these fucking rebrands have been crazy. You got motherfuckers being named after Nazis, and you got a whole motherfucker named Butch. You got fucking just one word names. It's wild. It's like just one word names. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, the Kaylee Ray rebrand is the only rebrand I've been liking so far. I definitely fucks with it. It's Big Grizz approved. I fucks with it a whole bunch. You know what I'm saying? I love it. Before I get into this final topic, man, again, thank you for coming through and listening to this podcast episode, man. I know I sound baritone as fuck, boring as fuck, but listen, man, we're going to pump some more energy into this shit. I just appreciate y'all listening. Streaming wherever y'all streaming at, streaming platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor.fm, wherever you listen to your podcast at, man, I appreciate it. All right, listen to me, and listen to me closely. This segment right here is not for the faint-hearted. This segment right here is going to be real-ass shit. This segment right here is going to have opinions. Man, have I ever seen something go so terribly so fast. Let's talk about this Owen Hart tournament real quick. On the women's side. Now we're not even going to touch the men's side. We're going to tap on the women's side real quick. So as you may or may not know, we had these qualifying matches for the Owen Hart tournament. And with these qualifying matches, right, you would figure we would be dealing with some type of logic here. That hasn't been the case. You would figure we would be dealing with some type of relief, right? That's not the case. You would figure that everything would be planned out and sorted out by the writers and everybody involved, right? That's not definitely the case we have been seeing right now. So if you have been under a rock lately with AEW or whatever the hell, like I said, they be having these Owen Hart qualifying matches, and Hikaru Shida and Julia Hart was one of those matches, obviously with Shida winning the match. So, boom, you got Hikaru Shida in the Owen Hart tournament, right? Okay. Well, yeah, she has a match coming up with Red Velvet. That was the plan, right? Okay, so let's backtrack real quick. Let's see the whole picture here, right? You got Hikaru Shida, right? Her and Serena Deeb had a Philly Street Fight match a couple weeks ago. Shida lost that match via submission to Serena Deeb, who has been doing her bread and butter work in every damn Hikaru Shida match she has been in, which is attack her knees. Attack the left knee or the right knee. I can't remember which knee it is any fucking more. The first time you know, this whole knee injury thing happened, Sita went to Japan, and she wrestled in Japan, and then she sold back up on Rampage, and straight after won the Serena Deeb's rookie challenges and just beat the ever-living shit out of Serena Deeb, which set up this Philly Street Fight match, which apparently set up another injury angle. So, like, okay, we get it. We know that Deeb worked the damn knee during the match. We know that she beat that knee to shit, and that was her bread and butter to getting that victory in that match. Yes, we all know that, okay? Well, we didn't know that this was going to be used as an angle. I honestly should have seen it coming, for real. I don't know how shit like this just slipped my fucking mind all the time, but I just don't know. So let's get into this here, right? So Wednesday night, Dynamite happened. You know, Dynamite came and went. And we get into the Rampage tapings and stuff like that. So I'm on Twitter. I'm scrolling, you know, chilling, you know, shit and all that. Then I see rumors. Well, not even rumors, but, you know, what do you call that shit? What do you call that shit when you see some spoilers? Yeah, spoilers for Rampage. One of the spoilers were Hikaru Shida taken out of the damn tournament. Why? Because it was an injury. So, hold up. Wait a minute. Pause. So, you mean to tell me they're taking her out the tournament because he's injured? She's injured. Which, you could use that injury. Yes, you can. You could definitely use that knee injury as an angle in this case. But we've seen it before. We've seen this shit before. We get it. We've seen it happen before. Now, this works as far as somebody who isn't really up on Hikaru Shida and her activities. And they'll just probably look at it like, oh, damn. Well, I hope Shida get better. Hope she recovers from an injury. It sucks that she has to be out of the tournament. But with people like us that really be up on Hikaru Shida and just be up on Joshi Wrestling in general, and just, you know, be up on wrestling in general, it's like, well, what the fuck? Why was this happening? Why? See, there's a busy person. Yes, I understand that. She has been back home in Japan. She has been wrestling her ass off. TJPW, apparently Oz Academy coming up. Makai Project, definitely. You know, that's her bread and butter back there. You know, she has been wrestling her ass off. She has been wrestling her ass off so much that she has touted herself as an Iron Woman on social media. And this happens to be the night before Rampage airs or something like that. But she, yeah, she's feeling herself. She's like, yeah, you know, I wrestled all these matches and whatever so amount of days. And, you know, I ain't going to stop now. The foot is on the gas. And it's still, I mean, she didn't say that, you know, but I'm just paraphrasing what she said. You know what I'm saying? I'm just giving you a slight description of what C was feeling at the time. That's what I'm doing. Yeah, she says all that on Twitter, right? So Rampage comes on Friday. And Jade is in the ring. And, you know, Tony is in the ring. Baddies are in the ring. And they get the news that Hikaru Shida is out due to injury, and Red Velvet will have a replacement for the match in the Owen Hart tournament. Meanwhile, back in Japan, Shida is seeing all of this shit right here going down, hearing about all this shit going down, and she sends the what question mark heard around the world, and now everybody's making memes about how Hikaru Shida hasn't been up on game. About her injury, how she doesn't know about the angle that's happening, apparently. And she is livid, frustrated, angry, all of the above. So, right here, I have a couple tweets that she has sent out. First tweet she sent out. Well, I already have 4 matches after the street fight and just finished the greatest fighting musical show. But I seem to have been injured. Japanese wrestling is nothing for them. I will repeat what she said right here. Japanese wrestling is nothing for them. Afterwards, he said, I'm so sorry, and sorry I couldn't be in the tournament too. Later, she sends another tweet that reads, I'm glad from my heart that Chris is in the tournament now, because Chris Statlander is her replacement, and I'm going to try to enjoy Southern holidays in Japan, because it has been a while before I had. Be positive. We've seen how all that went down, and you know, everybody is just either getting worked to shit. You might have to give Hikaru Shida a damn Academy Award or an Oscar for all these fucking tweets she put out, acting like she didn't know about this injury that she has had, acting like she didn't wasn't aware that AEW was taking her out because of an injury. And shit like that. And shit was so good that she had to come back on Twitter with that good old notes app and had to type whatever the hell she had to type. And she says in this notes app ass tweet right here, after my Philadelphia street fight, a doctor check from AEW was required to participate in the Owen Hart Cup, and I couldn't re-enter the country in time. I'm so sorry to disappoint everyone. These difficulties sometimes happen with international talents, which is true. I feel healthy and never stop trying to improve. Please cheer for Chris while I do my best in Japan. Holy Shida will be back soon. Ladies and gentlemen, I propose to you that AEW has messed up somewhere, somehow along this line. How do you have a wrestler not know that you're taking them out of a tournament due to a so-called injury? Somebody somewhere has miscommunication problems. Either is Shida not understanding that they were taking her out of the tournament with an injury angle. Either is AEW not telling Shida that she has been taken out of the tournament via injury angle. Either AEW told Shida that they will be taking her out the tournament, and Shida thought, well, they're taking me out the tournament because I can't re-enter the country in time for the tournament, and I'm booked to shit back here in Japan. They'll understand, and they never told her that an injury angle was going to happen in order to take her out the damn tournament. This might be the Riho effect, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the Riho effect. If you don't know what the Riho effect is, let me enlighten you. Remember that battle royale where Riho never got eliminated? And suddenly that became a storyline because it got off. Well, this happened before, really, with Eddie Kingston. Because Eddie Kingston never got eliminated. And he did mention that on AEW television. But in Riho's case, she actually got a title opportunity out of that via Battle of the Belts, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, so maybe this will turn into another Riho situation where, okay, Shida enters the country again. She's back with AEW. She looks to get her damn title shot against Jade Cargill. Something they might even conceive a damn storyline or whatever the hell. Something's going to happen. That's my theory. That's what I think may happen. I don't know if it will happen. You know, all this shit right here got people talking about Shida's not going to resign to AEW. Shida's going to leave AEW, blah, blah, blah. I'll wait to see what the fuck happens when the fat lady fucking sings, okay? Really, though, it's disappointing. I feel like AEW really has messed up somewhere along the line here. And the logic is fucking crazy. Why are we qualifying for these tournament matches where we already have people in the said tournament? Why even have Hikaru Shida qualify for the tournament when she's one of your top talents, one of the best women's wrestlers on the roster? Shit, fuck it, the best women's wrestler on the roster. I mean, still, you got Emi Sakura sitting in the fucking, you know, whatever the fuck they're doing, dark matches and shit like that. Why is this in the tournament? Why, you know, I don't, you, do you not use your damn assets, You know what I'm saying? Like, do you not, you know, look into your roster of women and be like, yeah, she could be in the tournament. She could definitely be in the tournament. But one person's trash is another person's treasure, and that treasure is Chris Statlander. And I'll be cheering for Chris Statlander. I like both Red Velvet and Chris Statlander. I guess I'll be cheering for both of them. As far as my pick for the tournament win, I think Toni Storm, Tea Time. Yeah, I think I'll say that's a safe bet to go with Tea Time right there. Toni Storm, definitely. But yeah, I want justice. I definitely want justice. I feel like she that has been wronged here, has been duped, led astray, flabbergasted again. You know, she was totally blown away by this injury angle. She was led to a haberdashery, definitely. I just, it's ridiculous. It's getting ridiculous. Like, I'm DeMarcus Cousins. It's getting ridiculous. Definitely, somewhere along the line, somebody messed up. I don't know if it was Sheeta for sure or if it was AEW for sure. Somebody ain't doing the math right. That's all I know. I just want justice. I definitely want justice. I really feel some type of way about this. I'm definitely feeling some type of way about this. And don't worry about me getting worked. I'm not worked at all. It's just sloppiness, man, from AEW. If I feel like, you know, I just feel like this whole, the women's side of the tournament is just getting rushed. I just feel like they're not putting two and two together. But I feel like this is the fucking crutch that they have for the women's division in a long time. It seems like they barely care about the women's division. Their talent gets talked about all the time. You got Becky Lynch saying some slime shit about the AEW women. Oh, they can't compete with us. You know, we the real deal. You know, what's a king to a guy? What's a queen to a fucking empress or whatever the fuck? You know, shout out to Oscar. But you see what I'm saying here? It's just terrible. Just fucking the audacity of these writers, Tony Khan, whatever the fuck, whoever is responsible for this damn situation is, it's fucking ridiculous. But I have to say, if Sheeta is happy being back in her home country of Japan, living life, wrestling for her Makai Project promotion and wrestling for these other promotions in Japan, then I am happy for her and I will be happy regardless. As long as she is living her best life and is cool with wrestling in Japan before she gets back to the States and gets back to All Elite Wrestling. So, I mean, that's really my take on that right there. Just something I wanted to get out about that. I would tell TK to count his days, but he's all right for now. He's all right for now. He's all right for now. He's cool for now. He's kind of getting on my not so good side. I'm not gonna say bad side, but I'm not so good side. You know what I'm saying? Not so good side. Man, I just want to close this out with my closing remarks. Thank you to everybody, for real, who has been supporting me listening to this podcast. Whether you know it or not, you support me by listening to this podcast or even sharing the link to my podcast. Definitely appreciate it. We'll be back on here more often than not. I don't know if I will be talking about weekly topics or weekly events that's happening in wrestling, Josie, whatever the hell. But I will definitely make it a priority to be on here to give you guys good content. Whether if it's just me talking about random wrestling memories, or it's just me talking about shows, or it's just me having a guest on talking about random shit. We gonna do the damn thing, man. And we gonna keep it rolling. Once again, man, Grizzly FOG coming at you with another episode of Ring Talk by Grizzly FOG, soundcloud.com/GrizzlyFOG, GrizzlyFOG.bandcamp.com. Listen to this podcast on anchor.fm/GrizzlyFOG. And find me on them streaming sites, man, Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal. I know you got them, so go ahead, type Grizzly FOG in there and bump some of my music. Like I said, I got a whole bunch of projects dropping soon, sooner than later, coming straight at you. Of course, with this, I always end it like I always end it with those famous words. Everyone is different. Everyone is special. We're almost coming up on 2 years of the passing of Hana Kimura. Next Monday, the 23rd, we'll be copping the Hana Memorial. So I'm glad that they were able to get it broadcast on Fight. And, you know, it's great, man. It's really great. It's a great thing. I hope they keep it as a yearly thing. I hope Kyoko keeps running as a yearly thing. I was just on talking to Scott E the other day. I will be on his podcast releasing soon, his Hana Memorial podcast. I was talking to him about, you know, if the event was bigger and widespread as a whole, with more talent from across the globe who really loved and admire Hana Kimura being involved in the event. I think it would be a special thing to see, and a special thing to watch, you know what I'm saying? Keep your head up out here. I know it's hard out here for a pimp. I know it's hard out here, you know what I'm saying? But keep your head up. Stay strong. Watch wrestling. And yeah, man. I hope you guys will have a wonderful week. I hope you guys have a wonderful day. Just keep it locked right here with your boy. You know, we're going to get this thing jumping again. And I appreciate everyone, and you just keep it positive. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, man, we out.